Hey, so maybe you do this too, but I send myself texts on a daily basis. Often I'm the only person texting myself, but hey, I'm texting someone I love, right? There was a joke from Woody Allen's Annie Hall where he says, "Don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone I love." But anyway, you know, I text myself things like, "Hey, wow, you're attractive." Or, "Are you busy Saturday night?" No, but seriously, folks, I usually text myself like book or movie reminders if I read or see something that looks cool, or a reminder to get a haircut, a reminder to go to a certain museum on a particular day, or a reminder to get a minder. You knew a bad joke was coming. Couldn't you just sense it? But generally, my texts involve reminders of what to buy at the grocery store or things I need at like CVS or some shit. On my days off, I get my grocery shopping done early as hell, along with my other fellow members of the AARP. I try to go to the gym, then around 8 a.m., swing by Whole Foods, and then to my beloved co-op on Broadway in Santa Monica, and occasionally over to the ridiculous store I love to hate, Erewhon. I really only buy the occasional smoothie or loaf of bread there. But anyway, my message to myself the other day seemed like strangely timely. It spoke volumes to me about modern-day life. And the message was, toilet paper and Xanax, which was a reminder to go to CVS to, yes, get toilet paper, which we all need at some point, unless you've figured out a way to not shit. And if so, let me know. And you know, I'll never forget a quote from my good friend's long ago departed father. He was a smart guy, a little gruff, a little intimidating, but like a no bullshit real fucking man. And one day he said, "There's nothing as overrated as having sex, and nothing as underrated as taking a good shit." Wise words indeed, and rest in peace, sir. And let's get into some embarrassing shit from my past. There was a period in my 20s when I was like really embarrassed to buy toilet paper. Yes, I had issues. I still have issues, but they're now new and updated issues. So man and woman need to defecate. News alert. And we also need to find a way to escape through like healthy or unhealthy means. You have to find a way to unwind. Me, I've been unwinding a little bit too much lately. I'm almost unwound. And I bring up the band Unwound whenever possible, and 9.5 out of 10 people don't know what I'm talking about. But go listen to the Unwound song Lady Elect, pronto. I mean, the song is called Lady Elect, but get to it, pronto. And pronto comes from the Latin promptus, meaning promptly or quickly. See, there's more edutainment for you. Where were we? Oh yeah, Xanax. So I don't really love the feeling of Xanax per se. I prefer uppers. But a correctly used Xanax can be a godsend. In the past, if I was like coming off something or coming down, Xanax was a must, like a nice 2 milligram Xanax bar or so, and it's lights out. Or Xanax is great, or Valium if you get like nervous at dentist appointments. Whenever I have a crown done, I demand some kind of like pre-medication. I had a couple panic attacks at the dentist where my heart started racing so bad, and I was like, I'm freaking out, and I had to take a break. I mean, my brain knew everything was fine, but my body completely took over, and a true panic attack is like a quite horrifying thing. So I'm working on stopping drinking, but it's really hard to do for the first few days, especially without some kind of benzo assist. The longer and more intense you've been drinking, the more intense the withdrawal. I mean, hardcore alcoholics can die if they just try to quit cold turkey. It's no joke. So currently, I don't have any health insurance, but I was like, well, I'm just going to email my old Kaiser doctor explaining my situation, that I'm trying to stop drinking, and just ask for like 4 or 5 days worth of Xanax to get through that early period. I wasn't sure if the doctor would reply or whatever, but you know, he wrote me back and he filled a prescription, and I was like so grateful. I was like, thank you for helping me out, seriously. And in the note, the doctor said that I should not try to lone ranger it, that there's resources out there and that I shouldn't just try and do it alone. Alone? I have my pet rock, Ethel. Hello, Ethel. But I was like, don't lone ranger it. I love that. Speaking of that, does anyone remember the 1981 movie, The Legend of the Lone Ranger? I saw it in the theater and I just loved it. It probably wasn't great, but it was just one of those movies that I was obsessed with. I know the Lone Ranger is kind of so outdated with the whole Kemosabe thing, but I just love the storyline. Christopher Lloyd plays the evil Butch Cavendish. Michael Horse was great as Tonto. and Jason Robards plays Ulysses S. Grant, or as Bill and Ted might say, Ulysses S. Grant. And in his only major movie role, the greatly named Clinton Spilsbury plays the Lone Ranger. I have never forgotten that motherfucker's name, Clinton Spilsbury. I always think of the Pillsbury Doughboy when I say his name. It sounds like a brand of maple syrup or something. For the sweetest pancakes, use Clinton Spilsbury. But you know, I have been kind of a Lone Ranger most of my life, and that is not bragging. I've probably made a few errors in judgment along the way that have made me a bit reclusive. At the end of the day, I'm home alone. Not with Macaulay Culkin, thank God. He's a weirdo. I'm thinking, worrying, hopeful, hopeless, and just getting to the next day. Some days suck, but I always try to find just some little good moment every day to remind me how surprisingly or occasionally nice life can be. I got an email from a listener not long ago, and it just kind of brightened my mood. I was like, the guy put aside some time to tell me he liked my podcast, and it just made me feel good. And that's what I attempt to do on a daily basis, try to help someone out, try to make someone smile, just be genuine and let other people know it's like, hey, we're not all assholes, you know? I told some young patient that I wasn't going to be in his unit the following day, and he said, oh man, tomorrow's going to be boring. And he didn't realize it, but it made my day. And this kid who's been, you know, through serious trauma and he's going through rough times, and the fact that he looks forward to seeing me was just one of those moments where I'm like, okay, I'm doing some good. I'm lonely, I want a girlfriend, but I'm doing okay. I'm helping people. And when things do get very dark, I get like a strange comfort in knowing that I have the power to end this film at any point. We have the power to end ourselves. And I don't intend on ever doing anything to myself, but it's kind of nice to have that option. And speaking of the end, I don't know shit about the singer James Blake, but I was at an art exhibit for this artist, John Rothman, who's supposedly a really big sleaze in real life. But he directed the video for the James Blake song, Like the End. Cool video. It's like a mixture of live action and like AI-created weird shit. But the song itself is just great. It's timely. It's kind of bleak. It's kind of nervous. But there's just a great melody and chorus. It's got like a heavy Radiohead vibe. And I've listened to it probably 100 times this week. So here's a little bit of that chorus. But doesn't it feel like the end? Something's coming for us. I think we were not prepared that this might only be day one. You are my density. So anyway, I'm recording this on Sunday, and I successfully didn't drink last night with that Xanax assist, and I won't drink tonight. This weekend has been kind of great. I went to the gym, I went on my favorite hike, which is off of Sunset Boulevard in Capri. It's supposedly closed due to the recent fires and stuff, but people are still hiking it. And there was quite a bit of like burned vegetation along the hike, but otherwise it was still the same. And I went and saw some random new indie movie called A Desert from 2025. It's kind of a slow thriller horror that is not flawless story-wise, but it's like undeniably intriguing. It's shot with some like David Lynchian moments. It's pretty well acted. And it's about a photographer on a road trip by himself, and he comes across some evil along the way. It also has the Jesus Lizards lead singer David Yao in this. He plays a somewhat seedy investigator looking for the photographer who's gone missing. Holy shit, does David Yao have a lived-in face? I mean, he kind of looks like Jake LaMotta mixed with Carl Malden. And David Yao is very underplayed and understated in this. He's low-key, but also always has like a slightly dangerous undertone to him. Anyway, it's probably hard to find until it's streaming. Yeah, I actually went to a movie theater to see this. It was me and one other person. And the only other time I've actually been in a movie theater completely by myself was during the corny horror movie from 2014 called Deliver Us From Evil with Eric Bana. It sucks, but it was directed by Scott Derrickson, who went on to direct Sinister from 2012 and The Black Phone from 2021 and its sequel coming out later this year. So anyway, I'm really starting to feel that L.A. magic again. The key to unlock L.A. is just to go do stuff, get out, stay active, go see a weird fucking movie, do whatever. I mean, LA is so fascinating to me. I mean, I've lived in LA off and on for almost half my life, so I kind of feel like a creature of Los Angeles. The noted Californian historian Kevin Starr said, LA is the Great Gatsby of American cities, which is so spot on. LA is glamour, deceit, beauty, tragedy. People come here wanting to make it big. You can always reinvent yourself here over and over again. LA is a land of dreamers, bullshitters, palatial estates, and homeless encampments made of cardboard. But there's something to the people here. It's like we're all fucked up. We're all desperate. We're hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. God, I love Los Angeles. And hey, have you ever Googled yourself or Googled your phone number? Well, I Googled you. And dude, that's really weird. You shouldn't have taken photos of yourself doing that to a donkey, Jesus. No, not really. But years ago, I Googled myself and was like, what the hell? It had my addresses and other family members. And it had this completely incorrect information that I had a small penis. I mean, that made me really angry. So maybe you don't mind having your personal information on the internet, but I was like, hell no. I emailed all the websites and said, can you please remove my info? I can have my lawyer contact you if needed. I have had privacy issues in the past. And my lawyer's name is I.P. Freely. You may have heard of him. He wrote the book, Don't Eat the Yellow Snow. But anyway, I have this loud-ass creature living above me, and it makes stomping noises and pulls tables and wakes me up in the middle of the fucking night. And when I say I have a creature above me, I mean a human. Yes, a fucking slob of a human. But anyway, I told the apartment manager that I talked with my mother's lawyer in Los Angeles. And the lawyer said to make recordings of the noise and keep a log of the times. And the manager said, can you share these recordings with me? And of course, I was bullshitting. I haven't made any recordings. So I was just like, I'm talking to my lawyer next week. I will let you know. So the manager kind of called my bluff a bit. Fuck it, maybe I'm stuck here for the year, but I'll manage. And when I toured the apartment, I specifically emphasized that I was a light sleeper. And I was just like, hey, is it noisy upstairs? And this manager said, well, oh, I haven't heard of anything. And I don't know, but if this son of a bitch did know about the noise, then he's an absolute piece of shit. It's like, be fucking honest. There's always some other asshole that will rent your apartment or buy your car or whatever. You don't need to bullshit people. And I don't feel comfortable lying to people, especially when they're asking something with sincerity. But anyway, this thing upstairs was doing like jazzercise at 1 a.m. the other morning, and I yelled, you pig! And then I punched the ceiling like really hard. See, I'm quite tall. And was that mature? Well, hell no. But did it feel good? Actually, fuck yes, it did. I mean, the next couple days, my hand hurt and my knuckles were like visibly swollen. First rule of Fight Club is that you do not talk about Fight Club. But at that moment when I was so pissed off, that cathartic pain of hitting the ceiling, of doing something physically, well, it just hit the spot. And I read an article a while back where it said swearing can lead to increased pain tolerance. So like when you stub your toe and you're like, you know, motherfucking fuck, you're actually helping with the pain. So swear on, you fucking assholes. Okay, a couple more things. You know, I was thinking the other day and I was like, you know what phrase kind of works in any situation? The phrase is, forget about it. I mean, just like Joe's Bakery, forget about it. Welcome to Rodrigo's Restaurante, forget about it. Or, of course, a phrase we all hear on a daily basis. How do I get this lobster claw off my penis, forget about it. And the important thing is you don't want to overdo the forget about it. Not like Danny Aiello or something. Forget about it. You've got to really downplay forget about it. Just kind of throw it away. You know, like, hey, hand me that newspaper, forget about it. Or, hey, Mark D needs to end this bit, forget about it. Several episodes ago, I mentioned my love of the Smoking Popes. Well, I have some new music out. In fact, an entire album called Lovely Stuff. There's a few great songs on it. And their music just immediately puts me back in the 1990s. I love the song Racine. Please check that out. Here's a little bit of the song and enjoy your week, motherfucker. I will see her and again, and my plastic world will melt into whatever shape she molds me. When she holds me, I am a man, not a part of this machine by which I'm standing here pretending I'm not standing here.